mercy is when you deserve something, whether it be punishment or whether you deserve something else, but you got mercy for it. We serve a merciful God, amen. How many are thankful we didn't get everything that was coming to us? There's probably times we deserved more, but he's a kind God. He's a good God. He's a good, good Father. And he loves us. And we are the apple of his eye. We're the center of his world. He created us for fellowship, for love, for interaction. How many of God likes to interact with you? How many of you are interacting with God on a daily basis? I'll turn around. How many of you are interacting with God on a daily basis? And probably you do it more than you think you do. Throughout your day, when your thoughts go to God, and maybe just in thanksgiving, thank you, Lord, for your bounty. Or maybe a quick prayer, Lord, keep my children safe today. Or a scripture that comes to your mind, or that song that gets stuck in your head that won't go away. Anybody else ever get that song stuck in your head that don't go away? Well, somebody told me the scientific word for that the other day is called an earworm. I don't know if that's true or not, but a good song stuck in your head's not a bad thing, right? And I told this person, I said, the only problem I have with that song that gets stuck in your head is when you know like the first three lines and then you don't know the rest of it. You're like, and then you can't think of the rest of the words. That like is the worst kind of song stuck in your head, right? Or it's a jingle that you've watched on TV and now it's just stuck in your head and it plays over in your head over and over, right? That's the power of music, though. Do you know that? The power of music, even to the music that they play in stores when you walk in, music that they play on the TV when they advertise something. Music is one of the best ways there are to memorize something, to memorize scripture. You probably know more scripture than you think you do because of songs that you have heard, songs, hymns, spiritual songs. It's the easiest way to learn how to say the ABCs. We revised the ABC song back a few years ago. I don't know if you know that or not. We don't sing it the way we used to because there was no elemento letter and there is no and in between Y and Z. Did you get that? No, you all look at me crazy. Because when the kids, when now we say H-I-J-K-L-M-N, then O-P-Q, because the kids thought there was a letter called elemento. So when they would say their ABCs, they would come to that part and there would be an elemento. There's not an elemento in the alphabet. There's an L-M-N and an O-P-Q. But song, a very effective way to learn anything, to memorize the books of the Bible. How many of you can sing the books of the Bible because you memorized them in a song? Or those are effective ways to memorize, to learn. So it's so important that the song that you sing has truth, right? So for many years, we've gotten a songbook theology, and not all of our songs were correct with our theology. So it's important that the songs that we sing magnify and describe who Jesus really is. And so coming together in worship and fellowship is a great way. Do you know that songs can change your mood? Songs can change atmosphere. Songs can bring peace. You know, music and worship and songs. And David so profoundly demonstrated to that to us when he was in the court of David so profoundly demonstrated in the court of Saul when he would begin to play the harp and sing, and the spirits would change in the king's court. Do you know that the atmosphere can change in the king's court when psalms of praise are there? Amen. And so it's important to pray for our leaders. It's important to pray for those who are in rule over us. I wanted to take just a little bit of time this morning. It is the season of Thanksgiving. Not that we just take the month of November to give thanks, because we should have a thankful heart all year round. Amen. And I really believe that a thankful heart is the remedy to a whole lot of things. A thankful heart is the remedy to selfishness. A thankful heart is the remedy to despair. A thankful heart is the remedy to what we don't have. When we begin to focus on what we do have, instead of what we don't have. How many we find out that we flip a balance? You know, there's a song that says, instead of counting sheep, count your blessings. It's a good cure for insomnia. You can't sleep at night, just start thanking the Lord for your blessings. Go down the list. When you just start saying, Lord, I'm thankful today for this. Maybe everything didn't go like I wanted it today, but what happened in my day that was good? What happened in my day that I am thankful for? And so our reflection becomes on what we have and what we don't have. So it's so easy sometimes to get in a rhythm of complaining or complacency or a place of taking things for granted. And this week at school, we've been trying to talk to the kids about, you know, what it means to be thankful. And it's a little bit tricky to describe that without talking about giving thanks to God, right? And so the things that you are thankful for, the things that you are thankful to God for, the things that we're thankful for in our country. And we know that one of the greatest reasons for Thanksgiving is because when they came, the pilgrims came on the Mayflower to the new land, they were looking for a place of worship and a place that they could praise God and serve God in the way that they desired. And so we are so thankful and so blessed in this country to be able to pick the church you went to today. Amen. And I thank you for coming here. You got to choose any place to go, but you chose to worship here. And so we got to come together. We didn't have to ask for permission from anybody. We didn't have to, we didn't have to go through any hoops. We didn't have to hide underground to come together and worship today. And sometimes we take those things for granted. But I just wanted to give a moment, if we would, if anybody wants to give thanks this morning. Does anybody have a testimony or anything that you want to say that you are thankful for today? We want to talk about thanks in the giving today. Thanks for the giving. Anybody else? Miss Wilda, come back here for Miss Wilda.
You with all my heart, and I just thank God for the house of the Lord today.
How many are thankful for Miss Wilda this morning? I miss her when she's not here. Absolutely. Amen.
You know, I can almost echo what Sister Wilda said today, but you know, as I look back over our lives and see how God changed our lives, It overwhelms me sometimes when I look and see how God's done and how God's blessed my family and raised up the ministry in this house. And, I'm just so thankful for the mercies of God and the blessings of God. You know, the Bible said that the blessing of the Lord maketh a man rich and addeth no sorrow. And I'm not talking about rich in money or cash or something like that. I'm talking about rich in the blessings of the Lord, rich in the goodness of God, rich in the wonders of God, you know. And I had all my life, you know, wished for the day that I could see the church packed full. And, of course, we see that on Christmas and everything. But last Sunday, the house was packed full. And I thank God for the fulfilling dreams and blessings and promises that he's made to me. I see him coming to pass all the time. And I just give him praise and glory this morning. I think I got a pretty good family, pretty good group of kids, preachers, and
she had a good daughter. I don't know about all the other stuff, but I was pretty sure. And all the siblings said, amen. I'm thankful for my mom. I'm thankful for my mom. She's a beautiful lady, and thankful for the richness of heritage. What the future is, but God knows God's been in it. He's been in all things. And good or bad, I know it's been a struggling year for a lot of us. But, you know, God has been so good through everything that we've gone through. I mean, it's like it doesn't matter that it's been, other people would look at it as being very, very dark. But not if you've got God. It makes a totally different outlook on everything we go through. And I just thank God for that light that he shines on all of us. And he lets us see the good in all the bad things. We still see the good, and we see what God can do. And I just thank you for what he's done in my life.
Anybody else?
Struggles are real, and
been a bit, I guess, at times, and how he's set me free. Also, thank God for my family.
Amen.
Thank you.
Attitude determines altitude. Anybody else?
Yeah. I'm thankful for where God brought me from, you know. Sometimes things in life happen that perspective on things and make you more effective. I'm just thankful for the life we have.
I want to thank God for to get here, but I want to thank him so much.
Thankful for you too. Anybody else?
I don't care how we get there. I don't want to drive. I don't want to navigate. Whatever, you know. I had to get my shoes on, and it's pouring down the rain. I try to push it.
I know, right?
Well, I tried. V.E. got out. She tried. I don't know where he came from.
Salt girl.
Out there with the wind blowing and the rain. I mean, I am drenched. I have to go into my tux. But that man was not Well, we got one down the road. We broke down. We stopped.
Things are important.
So the Lord worked that out. We couldn't go before deer season. God for my mother. She helped me.
Anybody else? Party when crap went.
That's right.
Don't know till you've let a son walk away. God is so faithful because he is God. And that there is nothing.
Anybody else?
Guys come together, things happen.
But up now, like,
you know, those three women, I heard the story from V over. This happened.
Thank you. Amen. And resilience. Curtis tells us every year at camp, don't say you tan't, because I know you tan. You know Curtis, you'll understand that. Anybody else have something you want to share? Anybody else?
winter because it was real icy on the ground. I wasn't even going to go in. I was a little bit upset. Help her. I started praying with her, and she said, and I was thinking to myself, every one of us can be the hand of God. Someone calls upon God, you can be that blessing, that person. The son showed up, took the mom away, and I know she wondered, who was that?
An angel unaware.
Because every one of us can be an angel unaware. You're just at the right place, at the right time. Watch someone and let them know that God's on their side. And I know she was in anguish and she was in fear and everything, but I knew that I had helped her in just a little bit, just praying for her. Everyone can be a blessing to someone else. You just need, like I said, don't ever give up. I was going to sit in the car because I was a little bit upset. Something upset him, and I don't know, and then it upset me, but I thought, no, I'm not going to let this do this to me. I would have been a grumble butt, you know. I wouldn't have been any help to anybody, but getting out of the car, no matter how you feel, you do what you know you need to do. God can give you an inkling of say, okay, get over here. Go. And you do what God tells you to do because there's always someone else. Hand extended to the
and then you walk away rewarded as well. Minister, they're ministered too, and you walk away rewarded as well. Anybody else? Anything?
Wonderful, and I want everything.
Anybody else? I think we sometimes don't take the time to give the thanks that's due to God. And I think that life preaches. You know, I can stand and give you scriptures this morning, and I have scriptures, and we'll read a scripture before we go, just so you can say you've been to church. But life preaches. It's the reality of what you hear, putting it in operation and allowing it to work in your life. We sometimes don't realize that other people walk through things. We sometimes stand in a place, feel like I'm the only one who's ever been through anything, or I'm the only one struggling, and only to realize that everybody around you at times are struggling with some of the same things that you're struggling with. And to hear somebody give a testimony that says, this is how I got through it. This is how God helped me. This is where God met me. This is where the angel unaware showed up. This was, you know, maybe there's a lady somewhere in church this morning testifying about a lady that came in and prayed for her because she was in distress and in despair. We don't know how we touch the lives of other people or how they touch our lives. I'm thankful for the many times that God has sent somebody my way that had a word or a text or a phone call or a voice of encouragement that spoke volumes to me. They didn't have to pull out the Bible. They didn't have to read a scripture, but I knew it was a God-sent thing. It was a God moment. It was an encounter. with God. That was a God moment. You know, that God strategically puts us, I believe, in places and strategically puts people in our lives. As they were saying about coming together to be a strength and to be a help, one of the greatest, I think, answers to the deficit in your life is to give. And that seems totally backwards. I have a deficit, so how am I supposed to give? But I truly believe that when we give, even out of our deficit and out of our despair, in whatever way, it can be money, it can be in alms, it can be in good deeds, whatever. I truly believe when you give out of need, it empties out all the inside of you and gives space to God, pour back into you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It was only when the widow woman said, I have nothing left to give to you, man of God. He said, Elijah, get up and go to Zarephath because I prepared a widow woman to sustain you. She had no idea, I don't think, but God had gone ahead and made preparation. She said, I prepared a little widow woman to take care of you. Not the king, not the mayor of the town, not the prophet, not the apostles, not. I prepared a little widow woman to take care of you. And when he came and put a demand on her deficit, he put a demand on her emptiness. He put a demand on her barrel that seemed like it had nothing in it. And probably all of us can stand and say, I've been there and had that moment when I felt like I have nothing in my barrel to give. And she said, man of God, I have got a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. And I'm going to prepare this for my son and we're going to eat and we're going to die. We've probably all been in that place where you feel like I'm going down for the last time. I feel like my barrel is empty. But when the prophetic word comes to pass, it was not hold back on what you have. It was pour out what you think you don't have. Because when you take that little bit of meal and that little bit of oil that's been stale in that barrel anyway, and you get it out of there and you give it to the hand of God or the prophet of God, or you give it to God and say, this is all I have. He said, it's all I want. It's all I've been waiting for you to take out yesterday's meal, yesterday's bread, yesterday's blessing. Give it out. Get rid of it because I'm about to pour into you a barrel of meal and a barrel of oil that did not run dry until God sent rain in the earth. And I'm telling you, it's in the times of your life when you feel like your barrel is empty that God says, get that stuff out of there because I'm about to pour something new and fresh and anointed, and I'm about to bring provision in your life that you did not see coming, that you could not have made happen on your own. But because you're obedient to the voice of God, the hand of God, and the prophetic word of God, he said, stand back and watch because I'm about to fill you up to overflowing. Hallelujah. And somewhere there was a little old lady that went to church that Sunday. And let me tell you about the prophet that stopped by my house because God just brought abundance to my house. See, the world thinks differently than what we do. If you got a little bit, you better hold on to it. But I'm going to tell you, if you got a little bit, you better plant it in the ground. You better put some seed in because it's that one seed that's going to produce many. And then that out of that seed comes many more seeds. See, we don't hold back from God. We give everything we got and say, God, this is yours for multiplication. This is your house. This is your car. This is your budget. This is your bill. Hallelujah. And when we submit our faith and our belief in God and say, God, you got this. And then stand back and watch the hand of God do what he said he would do. I love to hear the testimonies because life preaches. This is the real deal. This was what works. This is the boots on the ground, the activation of our faith, the word that we hear. If you hear the word and you don't activate it and you don't put it in operation and you don't put it to the test, you're not going to know if it's the real deal. You're not going to know if it works, but it's the times and the seasons. You know, I was thinking the other day, just in our life and in our season, there have been many times that I was thinking the other day, I don't know why, but I was thinking the other day that when we first got married, our house payment was $215.90. I still remember that number, and that was an astronomical amount to pay. Then for a house payment, he worked construction work, so if it was a bad winter that year, and so if you had bad weather, you didn't work. And there was weeks I remember making like $75 a week So it took almost 4 weeks of pay to pay that house payment. But I also remember the day when God paid it off early, and I could stand up and say, God, we never missed a payment. You were faithful to us, even in the storm, in the crisis. And I am thankful for those times because they taught us grit and grace. It taught us how to manage. It taught us how to pull together. It taught us how to be workers. It taught us how to be constant. But most of all, it taught us how to trust in Him. It taught us how to have faith in God and put our trust in Him. I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And so therefore, I commit to Him everything that I have, everything that I am, and everything that I will ever be. I commit to Him and to the grace of God and His hand in our life. Amen. And I'm sure we could start again and pass this microphone around the room, and you could tell me of times where God came through. Amen. We could say, God, you came through. But for the goodness of God, the gracefulness of God, it doesn't mean we don't walk through hard times, and it doesn't mean we don't have moments of doubt. But our faith is bigger than our fear. You got to let your faith be bigger than your fear. And you got to activate. Do you know faith is an action word? It's a verb. It's an activate. It has to be an activated faith. God, I trust you. Hallelujah. Our scripture today, Luke 6, 35 through 38. We'll just go there and we'll finish the rest of this next week. Because you guys already preached today. And I love it. That's what I hoped would happen, because it's the real life, the real deal. Activation of God's word in our lives. But in Luke 6, 35 through 38, it says, "But love ye your enemies and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, that ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet or give out, withal it shall be measured or given to you again." The scripture says, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. Make room. You know what you do when you shake something down? You make room. You got to tap it on the bottom, and it kind of settles in there, and you make room. He's not just talking about giving of alms or giving of things. He's talking about giving love, giving forgiveness, giving mercy. That's what precedes that. Giving mercy, forgiveness, salvation, compassion, grace, love, kindness, our alms. And sometimes our time, which is our most precious commodity. I heard somebody say one time, you can waste my money, you can waste my finances, you can waste my stuff, but don't waste my time. I can get more money, but I don't get more time. I mean, time sometimes is our most precious commodity. And how we use our time, we use it wisely, and we invest it in the kingdom. But I truly believe that when we give, that there is, that God gives back to us. Even in, you know, he loves the ungodly and the unmerciful in there. Amen? He loves us all. His love is all encompassing. Bernie's back there saying amen. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. That's the God that we serve. And you guys preached that this morning of the faithfulness of God. Amen.
That I couldn't pay for them. Urging in that moment, you know, man,
now, and I don't have to go put it on a credit card. Think it's all doom and gloom.
Thankful you have a vehicle to repair. Right? Amen. Amen. Perspective and how we see it. You can always find the kairos in the chaos. That has been my mantra for this year. Looking for the kairos in the chaos, because God is always in the midst working on our behalf. No matter what. And sometimes we don't see it because it seems like we're so accustomed to it every day. But when you focus sometimes and reflect, you see it.
And her having nothing to give.
Amen. Life comes out of that. When everything seems in despair or hopeless around you, look for the life. Resurrection life is in you. He's in you, and he is resurrection life. Stand with me this morning. Thank you guys so much for sharing. Thank you for sharing your heart and your testimony. I know it's not always easy sometimes, but those are faith builders. When we share our testimony and we share our faith, those are faith builders that encourages somebody else in a time of crisis to believe and to trust. Amen. If you're here this morning and you've not encountered Jesus as your personal Savior, it's as simply as inviting him into your heart. It's the greatest thing you'll ever do. You can have all the accolades you want, but if you don't accept Jesus as your personal Savior, you've missed the encounter. With his presence in your life. So we open the altar this morning if you'd like to come and pray, if you would like salvation or whatever it is that we can pray with you about. God is here to meet your need.